Welcome to Real Romance, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Real Romance. I'm Robert, also known as Bampink Bob, and this is my wife Brittany.
Hello.
And this is the 17th episode of Real Romance this season. Year's kind of coming to a close a little bit, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, it's October.
Yeah, we did put out a lot of podcasts, so that was fun. This is going to be kind of out of order this time around. Do you want to tell a story?
So, basically, we're not really sure what happened, but we had some kind of computer glitch. We actually recorded a stream mini. I don't know what happened to it, so we're trying to recover it, but otherwise we're just going to have to re-record it and go from there. So we figured I could pretty much marathon editing this one, and we'll get it out quick, and that way you guys aren't missing an episode, but they're just out of order.
Right, and so normally it would go stream mini, and then the movies, and then the more themed stuff in the middle of the month, but we're going to start with the movies from the month of September. Next week will be stream mini, and that will include The Boys with all the episodes but the last one, because it hasn't premiered yet.
There's only 8 episodes?
I think it's only an 8 episode season.
That's sad. I thought there was at least 3 more.
But now we're just going to be short the one episode. But in addition to that, we have the full second season of Umbrella Academy, the full second season of Doom Patrol, minus the one episode that they actually didn't get to put out because of coronavirus. And then to fill it out, we watched the first two seasons of Legends of Tomorrow. Stay tuned for that, because it's going to be coming up very soon, even sooner if we can recover that file.
I don't have high hopes at this point. I was up till 3 a.m. last night trying to get it back, so.
The dedication on this one, a round of applause.
I mean, I slept till 10, so it's not like that big of a deal.
Yeah, some of us don't have work, I guess.
This is my job.
It is, and she puts a lot of time in it, so appreciate, put respect on that name, y'all. For this one, we're going to talk about a few movies that came out streaming this month, as well as one that we saw in theaters, and a couple that we actually saw streaming a little while ago, and
they're called the Lost Movies.
This is filler, right?
We meant to talk about these movies like 2 or 3 podcasts ago. Well, not even just 3 podcasts ago, like 2 or 3 normal movies ago.
Months ago,
yeah.
And, that's what they're called.
I don't know anymore. I don't know what day of the week it
Time is.
Time
is just a construct.
When you don't leave the house very often, it doesn't really matter.
Today's Tuesday, but yesterday was Tuesday too.
I think today's Thursday.
Very good. Proud of you.
I only knew that because the trash came today, and it woke me up.
Anyway, so it's going to be a lot of little things on this, and I hope y'all enjoy it. Concerning movie theaters, we're probably going to cancel our A-list.
Not because we don't want to keep going, but simply because there's almost nothing to go to.
All the shit that we would have gone to see got delayed, right?
Like, we might go see Hocus Pocus is playing this weekend.
No shit?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'd watch that in theaters.
Yeah.
I fucking love Hocus Pocus.
Date night tomorrow.
Hey, speaking of Hocus Pocus, we actually did an art-themed date night.
Ooh, we should post that on our Instagram.
Yeah, so if y'all are all onto social media, check out the Real Romance Instagram, and you'll see what we made on the Hocus Pocus do-it-at-home art stream.
All right, so why don't we just jump right into our first movie, which was Hulu. A Hulu movie called Palm Springs. It was released earlier this year, I think in July or June. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's hard telling. Like we said before, coronavirus, everything kind of blended together.
So, it starred Andy Samberg and Christian Milioti? Is that how you say her last name?
I honestly don't know. Wasn't she the mom in How I Met Your Mother?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And basically, if you've ever seen a movie called Groundhog Day, it was kind of like that, only not on a holiday.
Right, it was just, well, technically the holiday would be her sister's wedding. So the basic story is that there's kind of a destination-type wedding in the middle of the desert, right? But it's this really nice resort-type place.
Right.
Andy Samberg keeps waking up the same day over and over and over again. And one day he meets this girl.
Sarah.
And he and Sarah hit it off really good, and they kind of run out into the desert and start to get a little freaky. But he gets attacked by some guy, and they give chase, and then Sarah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sarah ends up following him into this mysterious cave.
And even though he tells her, don't follow me, don't come with me.
She ends up following him and going into this weird time portal, and then she joins the loop too.
And then he has to explain to her that every day he does the same things, because nothing ever changes, just like Groundhog Day. The man attacking him is actually J.K. Simmons, and he accidentally got stuck in the time loop as well. Now he wants to kill Andy's character because he hates him for it.
Right, he's stuck in this perpetual time, and granted, he is able to go home. He only lives like an hour or two away, right?
Yeah, because he started the day at home and then drove to this wedding.
Right.
So every day he wakes up at his house. I mean, that's pretty much the story.
Right.
Basically,
well,
she becomes obsessed with getting out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I've tried everything. It doesn't matter how many times you die, how many ways you die, it doesn't matter what you do. I've tried living the perfect day. I've tried all these things, and
he's done everything. He's murdered people. He's had sex with everybody. He's even tried to drive as far away as he can and not fall asleep.
And the second you fall asleep, you wake up back where you are.
Throughout the story, we find out that there are specific reasons why Sarah wants to get out of this particular day.
Mm-hmm.
And that she uses some of her time to kind of learn how time loops work, like quantum physics and shit. She really harnesses that time to learn how to get out. And it's just really interesting seeing them grow together. They kind of develop a relationship. But he's been in the loop a lot longer.
Yeah, we don't know how long he's been in the loop. He doesn't know how long he's been in the loop.
But he knows it's been a long time. Long enough to know everybody in the scene. It's kind of like learning a TV show by reading all the Wikipedia pages every single character.
And watching the script over and over and over. Until
it's memorized.
Yeah, you know exactly what everyone does all the time. And you know exactly what's going to happen if you do this, if you do that. It's like one of those choose-your-own-adventure books, but, like, a lot more complicated.
And then you read all the adventures, and suddenly it takes the fun out of it.
And you're like, oh, this isn't good anymore.
So Andy Samberg's trying to, like, just get by and live his best life.
Yeah, I mean, most of his time is spent living in the pool.
Yeah.
And he's there with his girlfriend, which you think, oh, that would be great, but except he finds out she's cheating on him.
Yeah.
Every night.
Million-dollar question. Is it a good movie?
I thought it was good. I think it's been a long time since we've had a Groundhog Day movie, and I thought it was an interesting take on it. I liked how they got out of it. We don't really... Do we know if they got out of it?
Kind of.
I really liked that it was all science-y and all that. I thought that was an interesting take on the end.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they did a good job. I think it was similar enough, but also different enough to be its own thing.
Also, there was dinosaurs in it.
Yeah, that was weird. I think that would open it up for a sequel to kind of figure out, like, where these time loops come from.
Yeah, it moves into the past, doesn't move into the future. If they wanted to, they could, but I don't think they're going to. I think it stands alone pretty good.
I know that it was really popular, so we shall see.
We never know. Other movies a lot like this, like you said, Groundhog Day's one, but there's a few TV show episodes that are like that, notably...
I guess there's also Happy Death Day, but
yeah.
I kind of consider that a little bit different.
Well, I was going to get to that one after talking about that Supernatural episode. What is it called?
It's called The Mystery Spot.
There you go. I knew you would know it, but I don't off the top of my head. But the most recent cinema movie is Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You, which we liked. Blumhouse always does fun with that, but this had its own feel, its own vibe. And out of five popcorn buckets, what would you give it?
I mean, I would give it a 3. It was funny. I thought the cast was solid. I laughed several times, and I thought it was different enough. And I liked how they explained it. Because I felt like Happy Death Day, when they did the second one and they tried to explain it, it sucked.
No, the first one did it great. The second one overcomplicated
things.
And
I felt like this did a great job of the reason why it was complicated, and it made sense. I thought it was different enough that I liked it.
Yeah, I think 3, 3.5. It's a solid film. The next one on the list is actually Little Monsters. Forgive me, was this one on Amazon Prime or was this one also on Hulu?
I believe this one was also on Hulu.
Well, the long short of it is Lupita Nyong'o is a kindergarten teacher with all these kids. I forget, who is the male lead in that? Is he well known? Or is he just some bum guy?
I assume he is. His name is Alexander England. Because this movie actually originally came out in a different country, the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So I'm going to assume that maybe he's famous over there.
He was a good actor, I just
didn't
know him by name.
I've never seen him before,
but essentially,
I remember.
It's this guy, and he's trying to be a musician, but mostly he's just a couch surfer, and he's kind of a bum, and he doesn't have his life together.
He tries.
And he ends up getting kicked out of his girlfriend's house and living with his sister for a short while.
And her kid.
And while he's there, he has to kind of take care of some of the chores, including taking care of the kid.
Well, what happens is his sister is basically going to kick him out.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, no, I'll help. I'll take him on the field trip. Like, I'll
be a chaperone.
And he's also really into the teacher.
Because he drops the kid off in, like, what is it, like, kindergarten, first grade, something like that?
Something like that.
Really young. And drops him off, and the teacher's like, oh my god, this dude is stranger dangering over here. He is not the parent. This is weird. He falls head over heels over the teacher.
Yeah, he thinks Lupita is, like, beautiful.
And she is.
I mean, she does, she rocks that yellow dress she wears in this movie. It's fantastic. She got a great look in this movie.
That dress with her skin tone works so well.
It,
she's
like,
so
really
pretty.
I felt like it really highlighted just how pretty she actually is.
Really,
because
does.
I mean, we see her in action roles all the time and stuff, but like, this was like really different.
I know she's in Black Panther and all that, but in my fan cast like 3 or 4 years ago, I would have put her as Storm. I thought she would have been amazing. But there's so many good actresses out there. I'm sure that there's no shortage of someone who can do her justice.
She did amazing in this, too.
But in Little Monsters, they go to this farm, right? And they learn how farms work. And when they get there, they find there's this children's performer, kind of like your, like a Mr. Rogers or Wiggles
like
type character.
Like the Wiggles.
And he's like, hey, kids, ha, ha, ha. Was Mr. Smiley? What the
no,
fuck
his
is name
is Teddy McGiggle.
Teddy McGiggle. Okay, first of all, a hilarious name. But he's played by Josh Gad, who
does a phenomenal
because
job.
Because he's Olaf. It's like, if Olaf was a children's performer, he does such a good job. But they're doing their thing, they're having fun at the farm, and then there's a zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, there's like some military... I mean, basically, there's a military base nearby, and they... I forget what they were experimenting.
They're experimenting with people, and apparently...
Some of the zombies escaped.
Right, because there's, like, a guy, and he, like, rages out or something, and they end up infecting everyone, biting them, and they overrun it. And so it's this teacher trying to protect all these crying kids, and this stoner wannabe musician who's just tagging along, and Josh Gad being... Okay.
He has a puppet, too.
After the zombies start attacking, the whole I'm kid friendly thing like drops, and he just goes to like, what the fuck? This is what the f-? And just like swearing and being sexual. He's just the worst.
Despite the many kids in this movie, this is not a kid friendly movie. It's a rated R film.
But it is fun.
It came out last year.
Okay. But it is a really fun film.
There's definitely some really great jokes, mm-hmm. and there's some really funny puns, and there's also really quality monster zombie, like, murders.
No, like, the practical effects of some of the murders are really interesting. Like, they're on a farm, and so they're, like, riding on this tractor wagon thing, and zombies are just, like, getting laid by this stupid tractor.
Isn't there? Yeah, oh, and the little kid, like, is obsessed with tractors, so he's, like, the only one that can drive the tractor.
Yeah.
It's very funny, and they're trying to get out because they know that, they don't know this, but the military's about to bomb the hell out of this place.
Yeah, they're about to wipe it off the map.
It was very funny, and they're, like, holed up in this gift shop. Like, this kid, the main kid, is so high maintenance. He's, like, allergic to everything.
Right, and he needs his EpiPen, and so the teacher has to go out into...
The zombie, she kicks some ass, though.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm not letting my student die. And she gets all the way out to the bus, gets the EpiPen, and gets back.
It's just a wild ride. It's super fun.
It's very, a very fun
it's
film.
It's gory, it's funny, it's adult.
I thought it was the funnest film on our list.
And there's actually a little bit of romance in there, too.
If you're looking for something fun to watch on a Friday night, it's super spooky. And it's Halloween, y'all.
It has a little bit of everything. And Mr. McGiggles.
Oh, and the guy's songs, too. Remember how bad they were? They were, like, not child appropriate. And they're like, sing something. And he's singing these, like, hard rock, screamo songs.
Yeah, it's not good music. There's a reason why he's pretty much washed up. There's overall,
what would you give it?
It's a 4. Like, it is a good, solid movie.
I agree. I thought it was really fun. I thought it had decent effects. And I just really liked it. It was a good time. So the next movie on our list is a very recent release. So we watched Mulan, the live-action movie. We should have just watched the cartoon one again, but I digress.
Mm. Well, I'm going to preface this by saying that as a reviewer, we have perks. We did not throw down the extra $30 on Disney Plus to watch it. And after watching it, that's probably a pretty good decision. We wouldn't have spent the $30.
Regardless of the controversy that I've heard about, like, where they filmed and all that, I just don't feel like I would have been comfortable spending $30 on this.
Right, no, because there's a ton of controversy with the actress siding with, you know, the police who, you know, really abused their people over there, all the riots, there's all sorts of governmental things in Hong Kong. Very controversial across the board.
And we're just not going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about the movie. But solely based on the movie, we're going to try to judge it on itself and not too compared to the animated. Mm. But it's impossible to not make those comparisons. Because this is a Disney live-action remake, it is technically supposed to be based on the animated, but more so leans into the original legend and folklore. Tell me the story of Mulan. What is the movie about?
Well, basically, Mulan has chi, right?
Yes, well, we all have chi. It's the essence that flows through us.
Well, she has, like, extra chi.
Chi extra?
Like, she paid for extra guacamole at Chipotle.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and I'm not going to try to say these names because I really just don't want to embarrass myself. So Mulan has this extra chi, but she's a woman, mm-hmm. so it don't matter. Because normally that would be something they would use in battle.
Right. Okay. What does chi do?
I don't know. It gives you, like...
In the movie, what does chi do?
It, like, gives you extra good battle skills. You can, like, move stuff with your, I guess, your mind? I don't really know.
I kind of interpret it as, like, you know, it's extra prowess. It's extra, like, ability to do what you set your mind to. For Mulan, even early on when she's young, she's able to do, like, super parkour. Like, she's chasing a chicken around her village, and she's just, like, bouncing off of things and jumping off of terraces and doing some, you know, X-Men type shit. And the dad's like, tone it down. If you're gonna be a good wife,
you have to hide this.
You can't be showing him up. You know, it's like in Hamilton, you know, talk less. Like, you don't want to be a show off.
And I'm just gonna say that there's a scene where she goes to the matchmaker and she tries to catch this spider from attacking them.
Yeah.
And then the matchmaker's like, no, you need to move it. And she's like, I don't think so. And then she's like, do it. And she does, and the spider jumps at her, and then she's like, you're dishonorable. I'm like, girl, she tried to hide the spider from you.
It's not like in the animated where it's like, oh, Mulan done fucked up. Because the cricket done got in the way, and it messed everything up.
Mulan literally poured tea all over the matchmaker in the original.
Mulan was actually doing really good up until that point. Yeah. So really, it's not that she's a klutz in this one. And that's one thing. They didn't make her klutzy or...
Awkward
at all in this movie. She's really capable.
Yeah, she really just wanted to be more of a warrior. And basically from there, there's a war going on in China. She takes her father's place
right,
and lies.
Right, she's crippled after the last war.
Right.
And this is where it really starts to change from, the movie,
yeah, because
the animated.
The villain's name is Khan, and he has this, like, I don't know, a sorcerer?
She's a witch.
They call her a witch, but basically she's just like Mulan. She has extra chi.
Right, but she's manifested her powers into shape-shifting as well as this whole super fighter warrior thing.
We have to assume that Mulan could at some point do that as well.
Right, but because she's young and because she's been suppressing it, she's not, like, Mystique yet.
Do you remember what the three...
Like Black Widow.
I was trying to see if I could find what those three principles of, like, chi were. I know that truth was one of them, but I don't remember the other ones.
Bravery.
But basically, Mulan ends up, like, battling this lady, and she's like, who are you? And she's like, I'm so-and-so, I'm a warrior. And she's like, no, you are.
Nah, quit lying to yourself.
If you don't stop lying, your chi's never gonna come out. And, like, that lady really just... She truly just wants to be free. She doesn't want to be on the bad side.
Right, they try to make the sorceress out to be some villain, but really, she's kind of caught in the corner. It's like, if I want to be myself, I have to be this almost slave. I have to work for the man.
Right.
In order to be myself.
And I mean, and pretty much the rest of the movie goes the way... fairly similar to the rest of the movie, the original animated. I mean, Mulan battles they're not the same villain.
Right, it's not the same villains, it's not the same general conflict.
But she battles them, they find out she's a woman, and then they have to save the Emperor.
And then she has to come back and help them out, and they reluctantly take the help.
Except there's no Shang.
Right, Shang is replaced by, instead of being a superior officer, it is a fellow recruit.
Correct.
And he thinks he's hot stuff. And he is. I mean, he's
decent.
He's, you know, a good-looking guy. He has talent. she's kind of at odds with him rather than trying to impress him.
I liked that the one guy was named Lucky Cricket. That was kind
of
fun. Yeah,
that was a nice homage to the lack of a cricket in this one.
There were no crickets.
There was no crickets. There was no Mushu, which was very sad. There was no singing. There were no songs.
There wasn't no even Great Stone Dragon, y'all.
Yeah, there were a lot of things missing that were so fun that I would have liked to have seen homaged.
I understand that they were trying to do more...
Something
more,
traditional.
More cultural, but I feel like they didn't lean hard enough into it for me to justify all the changes. Mm-hmm. If they had leaned harder into the cultural tradition, I feel like I would have been more comfortable with their changes. Instead, I felt like they were half-assed, but mm-hmm. none of the original charm. Mulan wasn't funny at all.
No, it was a very serious movie.
I wanted there to be at least a couple jokes.
No. Now, I did like the fact that they kind of... they used some of the songs from the animated movie
as like an underscore,
as a light background music, or they've kind of tweaked it to sound a little bit more traditionally Asian. I enjoyed the movie for what it was, but they turned Mulan into a superhero. And I'm sorry, if you're going to be preaching that feminism is important, that women can do anything a man can, the whole point that they made was the only way you can compete in a man's world is to have super
magic.
Chi. Other than that, she didn't do as well, and when she kind of unlocked her chi, she did better, and she was able to impress people, right?
I think it was trying to lean into the be yourself message. I just think it fell a little flat.
Yeah.
So what would you give it?
2.5.
Fair enough. That's probably what I'd give it to.
It was enjoyable as an action flick, and it had some fun stuff, but it added too much it didn't need, and it took out all the shit that worked.
I think that the actors and actresses did really good.
Oh, yeah.
But what I think it gained in cultural, I think it lacked in heart. So
yeah, it fell really flat. Left it out overnight and just all the bubbles were gone.
I would have been a little upset if I'd paid $30 for it. All right, so the next movie we're going to talk about is also a Disney original. It is based on a book, and which is based on a real life event, and it's called The One and Only Ivan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a movie... This movie will tug at your heartstrings a little bit.
Right. Now, prefacing it with the fact that we read it beforehand, because it's a very short novel by Kay Applegate, who you probably know from the Animorphs series.
It took me, like, a day and a half.
Yeah. I listened on audiobook, and it still took me less than a week. Normally, these things take me 2 or 3 weeks. It is a very short children's novel that's written plainly, and it's a quick read. So, translating it to a children's movie was actually pretty seamless.
I really love this movie.
I love
the book.
They actually added to the book. So, The One and Only Ivan is a story about a gorilla in a
circus-themed
mall. So, this guy named Mac, he runs a mall, and inside the mall there's this big top, and he has animal acts that he keeps in cages, and they perform once or twice a day for an audience.
Right.
In the book, Ivan has always made pictures for people and it sells in the gift shop, and that evolves. But in the movie, he discovers art at the Big Top, right?
Right. No, not really.
Well, he rediscovers it.
He rediscovers it from when he was a kid.
Right. The one and only Ivan, he plays this big gorilla.
He's played by Sam Rockwell.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, the voice cast in this is phenomenal. And his best friend is an elderly elephant named Stella. Who is played by...
Angelina Jolie.
Yes. There's also Bob the dog, who's played by Danny DeVito, and he comes and visits every day. And there's a few minor characters that are added into the story as well. There's a rabbit played by Ron Funches.
I mean, they were in the book, but we didn't really talk to them at all.
Not really.
Like, he mentions them, and that's it.
Right. What is the poodle's name? It's something Snickers.
Snickers.
Snickers, the poodle, is in it. And there's a chicken that plays baseball.
Henrietta.
Henrietta's
played by Chaka Khan.
Oh my god, that's funny.
There's also a sea lion.
Oh, right. And he's like OCD or something,
mm-hmm.
right? But the circus isn't doing so well. They're losing business. And so Mac is able to acquire a baby elephant to go with Stella. And everyone loves this baby elephant named Ruby.
Stella gets sick. She has something going on with her foot. And the vet, it didn't really say what the vet said. He just mentions having the vet come to look at it a couple times, but Stella dies.
Right, it's like an infection or something.
And she asks Ivan before she dies, "This isn't right. We shouldn't live like this. There are places where you can go basically, she's referring to zoos. It doesn't mention zoo in this because I think they wanted to diss themselves. Animal rights activist people. But it's a zoo. She is like, you need to get Ruby to a zoo. Get her out of here because I don't want her to live her whole life in here and never touch grass.
Right. The cages are, they're painful.
Look, Mac did the best he could. He was ignorant and didn't know any better. It's no excuse, but it is what it is.
Right, because it's a sad story for all the animals involved that we know about, right? Bob, he's homeless.
He almost drowned.
Right, and Ivan, he was in the wild, and his family ended up getting killed by poachers. And so when he was rescued, Mac took him in and kept him in the house as a pet.
Yeah, it very much shows that Mac loved Ivan, and it's not like he didn't care for him. He did. He tried his best. But honestly, with the resources he had, and you just can't take care of a wild animal.
Right. It's kind of like the Tiger King. Like, it sounds interesting at first when it's a cub, but it is a wild animal at the end of the day. Right. And it kind of tears apart Mac's marriage, having Ivan around. It comes to a point where it's like, look, we either put you in a cage or we have to get rid of you. So they put him in a cage. But the circus runs for a while. Like, in real life, like 25 or 30 years. 27 years. Well, that's how long Ivan was there. Like, we don't know if it
operated beforehand. We know that Ivan was there for 27 years, so we know it ran for at least
27. He ends up making a plan to break everyone out. They say, well, if we're going to be in the wild, we're going to break everyone out. So they end up, like, stealing the key from the guard by fooling him.
The guard's kind of an idiot.
Yeah, well, it's a Disney movie. They make him to be really stupid. And they're, like, entering the cage, the enclosure, like it's nothing. Just like, oh, let me just walk in and see what's going on.
Yeah,
idiots. Fucking stupid.
The former zookeeper in me was like, ugh, that's a gorilla. Like, I know you love him, but it's a gorilla.
Don't do it. It's a trap. And it literally is a trap because he ends up getting the key and letting everybody out. But then
they have nowhere to go.
They bust down the door. Okay, here's what I don't get. Here's a huge plot hole in it. So all these animals, they go out into the woods near the mall. And because it really goes nowhere, it's more like a patch of land.
Right.
Mac goes and gets them and brings them back.
Right.
But he says, hey, don't tell anybody. We want to keep this under wraps. Ivan busts down the fucking door, smashes through it.
Who fixed the door?
And no one knows. Oh, don't tell nobody that this giant fucking gorilla smashed through the front door.
Like, he didn't just, like, smash the glass. Like, he smashed the whole front part of it.
Yeah, he said, this is Sparta, and just blew him off the hinges.
I thought that, too, but I didn't want to say anything.
It makes no sense, but regardless, they're like, the Big Top Circus is the best place to be.
Basically, there's a little girl, Julia, who comes with her dad every day. He's like the zookeeper, I guess. She teaches Ivan, like, about art and all this stuff, and she gives him crowns. I know, they're crayons.
I didn't say a word.
Don't make fun of me, mean ass.
I didn't say a thing. I was just gonna let you say it wrong.
And then she gives him finger paints, and he makes his pictures, and Mac's like, oh, this'll save the show. And for a minute it does, but then Ivan's like, I've got to do something. So he takes the finger paints and paints the most beautiful wildlife mural.
Right, so it kind of paints a picture for you. Up above the big ring, there's a kind of a glass enclosure.
A window.
There's a big window.
He looked out a window.
A window. And that's normally where Ivan does his whole big gorilla. He beats his chest, he hoots and hollers. And
it's his act.
It's his act. After he started painting, that's kind of his studio.
He paints, and then
And then they sell it in the gift shop for like $35 with frame. And that's from the book. And so he takes the finger paint, and on the glass window, he paints a scene of the jungle. There's a big lake, there's a lot of trees, sunshine shining through. Really, truly beautiful. And that day, a reporter came to kind of document. They came first to ask, hey, did your animals break out?
And they were like, no.
Mac is like, stay for the show. It'll be fun. And they're filming as they unveil this masterpiece.
And Julia is like, hey, Ivan doesn't want to be here. And she talks to the reporter, and they contact a zoo. And
well, there's rioters and protesters. Yeah. And it creates a lot of media coverage after probably like a month or two, maybe. You never know. But they ended up closing down the circus mall thing. and all of the animals get either put in new homes or taken to this wildlife reserve.
Right.
Preserve.
I mean, he keeps Snickers, because Snickers is a dog.
Yes.
And she lives with people.
Mm-hmm.
Snickers is played by Helen Mirren. Oh. Fun fact. So this was definitely an all-star cast.
Right, because Disney has those connections.
I mean, Mac was played by Bryan Cranston. It was a really happy ending, and I definitely recommend you check out the movie and the book. But basically, it was based on this real gorilla named Ivan,
mm-hmm.
who was taken by poachers.
He an infant,
He was rescued from them, and someone bought him and let them live in his home. And he was very well... they cared for him quite a bit, but that's not where gorillas belong. Mm-hmm. And then he ends up in a circus, and he doesn't get to touch grass for 27 years.
Right, and he's just there, and he does do paintings. That is true, too. But that's not why he leaves. Like, it's not his paintings that raise awareness. It's just people... It's
animal activists and stuff. They start writing and whatnot, and he ends up going to live the rest of his life at Zoo Atlanta.
But we really enjoyed the movie, and the fact that K.A. Applegate documented it and made a story out of a real-life occurrence... probably opened a lot of kids' eyes to the idea of, hey, maybe circuses aren't that great. Maybe captivity isn't what's best for these animals.
But it doesn't necessarily badmouth zoos.
It talks actually quite highly of zoos.
And yeah, and I think it does a really great job of showing how, in the right environment, like, we should not be ripping animals from the wild, but animals that are already in captivity living in a zoo is good for them because they can't go back.
And can I just say, we've seen 2 Disney movies now on Disney Plus that used live animals talking. Like, we'd watched Lady and the Tramp when it first came out.
This
was so much better. The CGI mouths, they looked much more real and believable. But there was an element of them being slightly animated or fake that made you enjoy it more.
It was more like fun. Like, it was like... It made them almost cuter, in a way.
I wish Lion King had done this.
Yeah, because it gave them expressions without taking away from their realistic look.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the rabbit was so cute. I liked the rabbit a lot.
Yeah.
He has a fire truck.
Yeah, but they replace it with a yellow fire truck.
And he's upset.
Yeah, he says, whoever heard of a yellow fire truck?
Right? I mean, he's not wrong.
So, out of 5 popcorn buckets.
I would give it a 4. I really liked
it. I liked it, too.
I did cry a little bit.
It's a 4 or 4.5. It is a really fun kids film, and I would recommend that. So, the next one that's going to be on our list is called The Broken Hearts Gallery, and this is the only one we actually saw in theaters.
This movie was so good. I just want to preface that.
I was actually really surprised by how good this movie was.
I don't think you really wanted to see it.
No, it sounds like just any other rom-com, chick flick, meet cute type
thing. I would go see this movie again, not gonna lie.
I know you would. Well, it'll be on Netflix or somewhere eventually, and you can watch it at home.
So, the 2 main characters are Nick and Lucy.
Mm-hmm.
And Lucy starts off, she's having this great day, she's meeting her boyfriend, they're having a great time, and then he dumps her. And she's like, hell. And she starts crying, and she gets into her quote-unquote lift, but it's not a lift.
It's just a random dude that was parked there.
And Nick is the driver, and he's like, lady, I'm not a lift. Get out of my car.
But she's already drunk, and so he's like, you know what? I'm gonna be a good guy.
And take her home.
Now, add some backstory. She is a, she wants to be an art, like, curator. She wants to run a gallery.
Correct.
She is under a big name, and she's working with this guy who's slightly older than her in order for her to, you know, kind of, they show her the ropes, so to speak.
Except he's taking advantage of her. He's her quote-unquote boyfriend, but he's definitely taking advantage of her.
Right, because she's smart, and he's using her ideas, and then he's kind of getting rich off them.
So she gets home, and then she realizes this is not her Lyft driver, and he's like, well, you wouldn't get out of my car. And she's like, well, thanks, I guess, and gets out. And goes back upstairs, and her 2 roommates comfort her, and
she's a wreck. And her main thing is that she can't hang on to relationships. And the reason that this is called the Broken Hearts Gallery is because over the course of many of her relationships, she's just been collecting mementos.
She's a hoarder
from everyone,
and she doesn't just lose her boyfriend. She ends up losing her job.
Right, because she has, like, this drunken rant about...
The next day, yeah, she sees him. After he dumps her, she sees him with his ex-girlfriend, who he said was nothing. And she just is supposed to introduce him and just, like, loses it.
Loses her freaking marbles, yeah.
So she's at home, crying, and just, like... And her friends are like, look, You gotta throw away this stuff. You're never gonna get over these relationships until you get rid of all the stuff you're hoarding from all of them.
Right, the memories are ruining your future love life.
So they bag up some of the stuff, and she's supposed to take it to the dump. But on the way there, she sees her ex-boyfriend at the bar.
With his ex. Or yeah. I guess now his current girlfriend.
And fortunately for her, Nick is also there and grabs her and stops her from embarrassing herself even more. And she's just like, what, are you stalking me? And he ends up showing her this hotel he's making. Now, I assume that the rooms are all done and he's just got the lobby. He's been working on this hotel for 5 years, I think.
Yeah, and it's really important to him that Hotel Chloe is up and running before they end up losing the building.
Because they have like a month.
And they have a loan that they're trying to get, but that's still up in the air at the bank. And if they can't get the money they need to keep it open, the place is gone.
And his best friend is doing a bunch of work for him. And he's just like, are you going to pay me? Like, he makes some big jokes out of it. The best friend, I have to say, was probably my favorite character. He was so genuinely funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like he was such a good addition to the cast. She's like, look at this balcony space. What are you even going to do with this in your lobby? And he's like, I don't know. I hadn't thought of anything yet. So she takes the tie from her ex. And
her most recent ex.
She, like, nails it to the wall. And she's like, look, it's the Broken Hearts Gallery. And she, like, scribbles it in pen on this piece of drywall. He's like, oh, whatever, you weirdo.
Right, and she posts it on her Insta. And then the next day, Nick's like, you gotta come here. Like, he goes to her house.
And she's, like, not even wearing pants.
And her room's a mess because she's in this weird breakup depression.
Oh, it's disgusting.
But he's like, you gotta come over to the hotel and see this. And somebody else put something on the wall.
A map.
And so she gets this idea and she opens it up to the public and says, hey, bring us your stuff. We'll put it in the Broken Hearts Gallery and you can tell your story and let go of the loves that you've lost.
And we'll post it and then we also take donations. So she earns some money doing this way and tons of people, like, it goes viral.
Mm-hmm.
They start flocking to this place and putting these things from their ex. And there's some, like, really, like, emotional
Yeah, things. No, some of the stories, it's not just like, oh, so-and-so dumped me. It's like, no. This person ended up dying.
Yeah, or, that one murdered my heart.
Yeah, or it's not even always romantic love, right? Sometimes it's just like things you can't let go of. But it ends up getting traction, and she gets enough stuff to actually make an exhibit out of. Her ex-boss actually
takes notice, and she wants to make a gallery out of it.
Right, and
she makes a deal so that he doesn't lose his hotel.
Right, she says, well, you let me host the event at this hotel. That way the hotel will get some popularity, and it helps you out too. All parties involved get something out of it.
And this whole time, Nick is like, I don't believe in holding on to stuff. I don't believe in holding on to relationships, blah, 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 blah. And she's just like, I don't get it. I don't get that. And then they start falling in love. And it's beautiful. And mm-hmm. It's cute. Should we spoil it?
No.
No?
Don't spoil this.
Okay, well,
one. This one is absolutely worth going to watch.
She finds out something big. And I won't spoil it. But just go see this movie.
It threatens the relationship. Because she feels like he's not letting go of his past. And she still is trying to move forward with her future.
Also, her roommates are fantastic.
The whole cast in this, like, there's a few big names in this, like, not gonna lie. Bernadette Peters is the art gallery curator, right? She's the one who's in charge. But the two main characters are played by Dacre Montgomery, he's been in a couple things.
He was in Stranger Things.
But most notably Stranger Things and the Power Rangers movie. And then Geraldine, I can't pronounce her last name, Viswathathon? literally, fucking, okay, pronounce that shit, okay? Hooked on Phonics, that last name.
Viswanathon.
Okay, you can just knock it out of the park.
Sure. Yeah,
that's whatever.
But you would have notably seen her in, she was in Blockers.
Mm-hmm. And Miracle Workers with Dan Radcliffe.
Which is fantastic.
It's such a fun show. If y'all haven't seen it, fucking watch that show. Two main characters, they're actually really, really good, and the supporting cast does not let down.
His best friend, played by Arturo Castro, was the funniest character.
It's great.
He was amazing.
It's a really heartwarming movie with a lot of good humor.
There's a really great scene where they throw a birthday party.
Oh, God.
And it was, like, murder-themed, and I loved it so much.
No, Brittany had so many ideas, because it's a murder karaoke, and Brittany was like, I need to have a murder karaoke party. And I said, no, you can't. you need friends to have a murder karaoke party.
Not really. I murdered all of them.
So it's really just singing in your basement, surrounded by your dead bodies. Say, this is fun.
I mean, isn't that the most murder-themed party?
It was kind of like a mixture between like a Halloween party and karaoke.
But it was just her birthday.
Yeah, there were like three different really fun themes, but it was all birthday, and
she did a great job.
Brittany just wants that for herself. She can't have it, though.
So if y'all want to come to my murder-themed birthday party, I'm taking donations.
Yeah.
For next year, when this is gone, the virus. Right.
For when Brittany turns 30 years old.
That is not next year.
It's close enough. You're so old. 30. I'm 30, and I can say that. It's really not so bad. I mean, I just feel like I'm in pain all the time, and I'm losing all my hair, and I feel like, you know, my whole life is just passing so quickly.
I'm gonna die before then. Don't worry.
You're not gonna die before 30?
I might.
Out of popcorn buckets, how many would you give it?
I would give it a 4.5. I love this movie so much.
I'd give it a 4. I mean, it's just as solid as Ivan.
I was like,
in a completely different way.
I was like crying laughing. I was laughing so hard. I was kind of embarrassed because there weren't that many people in the theater, so it was very obvious that I was the one laughing. But the people behind us were laughing too.
Yeah,
Well, behind us. They were like 6 rows behind us.
Right, but some of the humor just really hits different. Even some of the stories of like people's losses are just so funny. Like, isn't there somebody who like loses their leg or something?
No, she had a cast.
Oh, right.
She brought in her cast and she was just like, yeah, she drew all over it and then we broke up and now I just have this cast and I didn't know what to do with it.
And it's got a funk on it.
It smells.
Yeah. I'm really glad that the one movie we went to in theaters was this one, because it needed box office success. And
it was so good.
Unfortunately, coronavirus has really ruined a lot of movies' chances at making any money back. This has been a really big loss for Hollywood. Not that we should be like, oh, you know, play a violin for Hollywood or anything.
I mean, there are still the smaller people that need to get paid, like right. The artists and all
exactly.
that.
Exactly. The people who make the movies, they got paid, but then the companies are losing money. And even though this movie might have been okay, movies down the line, they're going to suffer for it.
Right.
Because they're now trying to recoup their losses. And so they're not going to go and take more risks. They're not going to have big budgets. And there's going to be a little bit of a recovery time, I think.
So the last movie on the list is definitely a bit of a downer.
I know. We watched this tonight. And this is a last minute edition because Brittany says, I love murder. So we watched a movie called American Murder, a family... What is it?
I don't know. Can you read your writing?
I can. It's a... Oh, fuck. What is that word?
I don't know what
Family you're... Next Door. See, I can read it. Okay. God, I should be a doctor.
That's bad.
American Murderer, Family Next Door. It's a story that is told... It's a documentary, and it is a true story.
On Netflix.
And the entire thing is actually told only using footage... And recordings and photos.
And text messages.
That are real and are pulled from social media.
It was a really interesting... It wasn't all pulled from social media. Some of it was the cops' footage and whatnot.
Yeah, no, there's body cam footage. There's home videos. There's security cams.
You would almost think that this was fake because of the way it was shot. This is not a long time ago, like, murder.
It's like 2018.
This is very recent. It's very much something... If you guys follow the story, it's basically the story of Shanann Watts and her daughter, Celeste and Bella, and her husband, Chris Wells. Shanann and her daughters go missing, and that's what happens. Like, and then the police try to find out what happened to them. Pretty quickly on, you realize that, like, Chris is not telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because... The timeline goes something like this. Shanann came home around 2:30 from a business trip. He left for work around 5:15, 5:30, and she's never seen. Like, no one has seen her. You see her come into the house at 2:30 from their, like, porch cam, and no one ever sees her again.
There's no bodies anywhere. But it's very shady.
A friend of hers is like, I can't get a hold of her. She had a doctor's appointment today. She missed it. The kids aren't at school. What's going on? And she can't get a hold of her. So she calls the police and she calls Chris and they come to the house and they go in. If you look at the scene, you don't really see anything off that much. But if you really look, the only thing missing, and even Chris says that, is the kids and the blankets, like the kids' blankets and the blankets off the bed, master bed.
Right. No, and all of her things are kind of like spread around the house like little clues. Like her wedding ring's over here. Oh, and here's her phone and that's her wallet.
And there's her purse with her pills.
Right, and she needs it because she has lupus.
I think pretty quickly on the police took this fairly seriously. Mm-hmm. I don't... A lot of times, if you know anything about true crime, when an adult goes missing...
They don't give a shit.
No, they're just like, well, they're an adult. Like, the right. police pretty quickly are like, is there anyone she could be with? And he's like, I don't know. I can't get a hold of anyone. I don't know all her friends. Like,
especially if there's like a marital dispute, right? They're like, oh, well, so-and-so had to run off and blow some steam or whatever. But the cops really take it seriously. They're passing out all these missing persons forms. Well, they're asking, like, all the neighbors and friends what's going on.
And her car is still there. And you see in this guy's body cam footage, they go over next door to their neighbor who has footage. He has a camera that can see not only his driveway, but their driveway, partially, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is what I've got. It only catches motion. So you can see Chris's truck pull out and then back into the driveway, and that's all you see. And the guy's like, he's not acting right. Chris seems off. What's...
Yeah, he's fidgety. He's normally very quiet and reserved, and he's just nonstop talking right now.
And it is a cool if I spoil everything. Like, yeah, I mean, this was a real life case.
Yes, this is something that has happened.
They find out Chris murdered his family, his whole family. He stuffed the two girls in a barrel. And he dug his wife a grave out in the desert and just buried them there.
Right, no. I mean, I obviously just watched it the once, but it seems pretty obvious if there is a motion camera outside, there are security cameras all around their house, that if someone was going to even get let in casually,
well,
that person would have been caught on camera.
You have to assume that their back door is not... It doesn't show if they have a back door. But you can't see all their windows. But there's no tampering evident.
Right. It's like, if he takes his truck and backs in, that only makes sense that would be for a reason. It's in the middle of the fucking morning. Why would you do that if you're just going to work?
Right.
It's very fucking suspicious.
Obviously, if she was going to leave and take the kids... Not the bug.
No. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
Chris cannot help himself.
No, he tries. Bless his heart.
If she was going to take the kids, though, you would think that either her family or her best friend or somebody would know. I'm sorry. If you are leaving your spouse, you have to go somewhere.
Right.
And she didn't take the car. So how did she get there right. if she didn't call anyone she knows to come get her?
Get an Uber?
Like, there's no evidence she's used the bank account or her phone or taken her medication.
Right. But the beauty of this movie is that they pull everything and they kind of tie it all in to create a narrative of how the relationship built, all the marital problems they were having leading up to the marriage. Or, to the murder.
I will say that the moral of this story is that social media is a lie. I mean, I try to be genuine as possible online, but I'm not going to post when Robert and I have a fight. Like, that's not something everyone needs to know. And you very clearly see all of these posts that she's done where it seems like they have such a great life. Like, their kids are cute and they're having a good time.
They have such cute kids. They're like, what, like 5 and 3?
Something like that.
Oh, and she's pregnant.
Yeah.
She's like 15 weeks along with a boy, and they've been wanting a boy. And that's really sad, too, because they were still a growing family. But we find out that this motherfucker, Chris, was actually having an affair with his wife. So she goes out of town 6 weeks before the murder.
To go visit family in South Carolina?
No, it's actually his family.
His and hers.
Right, but he's staying so he can work. But also so that he can bone his coworker, who's like probably 10 years his junior?
No,
yeah, his junior. And they're like falling for each other, and she kind of falls
now,
for it.
Before you go crucifying her...
No, I'm not crucifying
her. I know, but listeners, now she thought that he was separated from his wife and that they were moving towards a divorce.
Yeah, but the guy always says, I'll leave her for you.
Right.
I love you.
You do have to say, like, she has to be at least a little naive. And I mean, you do, but you can't really blame her because if you're in that situation, you do. Like, not that I've ever been in that situation, but you have to assume that you're... you know, it's, even though deep down you probably know they're never going to leave their wife, you think that they are. And if he tells you that they're separated, what, who are you supposed to believe? Like, are you going to go to the wife and be like, hey, are you separated? Like,
actually,
I mean,
nowadays,
you probably should
be like, hey, I'm sneaking around. Are y'all actually separated or am I the home wrecker?
Regardless of whether she's having an affair with her husband or not, she did not participate in this murder. She never asked him to do any of this. This was not something that she wanted.
Right, but she was out of town with the kids for 5 weeks, and they were having...
issues.
But see, he and his mistress were having fun and going out on dates and spending money. When he's together with his family, he doesn't want to touch her at all. And so there's a string of text messages of her texting her sister or her friend.
I'm not sure. But, I think it was her sister.
But it's stuff like, he won't touch me. He won't look at me. He doesn't want to be with me.
I got out of the shower naked and he wouldn't have sex with me.
Like, that makes no sense. I think he's having an affair. You know, the girlfriend or the sister, well, I think whoever it's it both. Is. But she's like, no, don't. He's a good guy. Don't be paranoid.
Like, just talk to him.
And... apparently,
he wasn't.
He is not a good guy. He is a murderer.
Well, and like, you see things where, like, she's like, you gotta talk to your kids. They're your kids, regardless of us. And he's like, I love my kids. And you see, this is the part that was the most heart-wrenching, was all these videos of him with his kids.
Oh, it's such a wonderful, loving family.
If you saw just the videos and didn't know anything else, you would think that this man is a great dad.
You know that... he is loved by his family. He ends up murdering his wife, and the kids are essentially collateral damage. So instead of letting them go and live with the grandparents, who clearly love these kids,
right,
and him just going to jail for the murder of his wife, he ends up killing the whole family and getting 3 life sentences, as well as 3 counts of body tampering after the fact, and a count of murder of an unborn child.
And this son of a bitch really tried to blame it on his wife after he was caught.
That's why he's going to hell.
He had the balls to be like, well, she killed the kids, so I killed her, and I didn't know what to do. I'm sorry.
And he's just crying.
I could believe that if he didn't then take their bodies out into the desert near his work site and stuff his 2 little daughters into a giant barrel. And in the documentary, you see them a picture of it, and it's only 8 inches wide. So he had to shove his little girls into this thing.
Right, and each of them went into a separate tank too.
To say that you love them and you went into a rage because your wife killed them, and then to shove them into a barrel like trash is just the filthiest thing anyone has ever said. The nerve on this dude, and he's crying and he's sitting there telling this to his dad, the grandfather of his kids. And he's like, I don't care if the media knows. Like, they're like, are you okay with the media knowing that your wife killed them? And he's like, well, she did it. The balls on that man.
Yeah, no, he deserves every bit of torture he might get in prison and then some. Because he'll be in there the rest of his life.
I felt like this documentary did a really great job of kind of giving the overall story. But there is a lot more to this story. There are podcasts out there about it. There was so much coverage about all different things, yeah. All the little details and stuff. And it was very much a social media circus.
No, like, see, and that's what I liked about this, though, is that it pulled so much from the media, like from social media, from, you know, recordings, everything else, and they actually built a narrative without having a narrator, without having any sort of guiding force to do
no one telling editing. You what to believe.
It's just the footage. It's just the facts. And I really enjoyed that. Kind of like what they did with, God, what was Unfollowed, maybe? It was the one with, what was it, John Cho?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, this was a really good movie. It told the story well, and
Searching. It was called Searching.
But while it was really, really sad...
it was an interesting way to tell
it
something.
It was a well-told story in a really nice medium. I'd give it, like, 3.5.
I would agree. I think it was a fascinating way to tell a documentary. And I think with the social media age that we have now, where everything gets posted online, you film everything, there's never a time where there aren't technology around you. Mm-hmm. I think this could be an interesting way we start telling documentaries.
Yeah, no, this is probably one of the most unique forms of documentary, because it felt like a mockumentary. It was so well done.
It was fantastic. Yeah. It was like it was planned, like someone wrote out a script for this.
and that's how you know it's a truly horrible murder, is that you almost can't make this shit up. Like, it's just that bad.
Like, I just don't understand how someone says they love their kids. And I still have a hard time understanding. If you watch the videos of him with his girls, like, he seems like he genuinely loves them. I don't understand how someone can love someone and then choke them to death. Especially a child. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. So, before we go, I just want to talk very briefly about a movie that we didn't watch. We kind of kicked around the idea of watching Cuties from Netflix. Because I had friends from Texas say, oh, you have to watch it because I want to talk about it with you. And there's just a lot of controversy going around. And we decided against it because
it seemed creepy.
It felt weird. And we didn't want to necessarily watch it. And one thing that we decided when we restarted the podcast this last year was that we weren't going to force ourselves to watch movies for the sake of content. Most of you already know, but Cuties is essentially the story of a dance troupe with these, you know, 11, 12-year-old girls. And they are overly sexualized, and they really grow up way too fast.
The trailer made me a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, and they're like, they're dancing erotically, they're wearing next to no clothes, they're being exploited by older guys. It's the idea of it. I don't know what the content says, and I'm pretty sure from what I read that it's supposed to shine a light on how bad it is by showing how bad it is. But even then, it's near child pornography, and I couldn't bring myself to watch
it. We didn't want to show Netflix views of something like that that we just didn't feel comfortable with.
And, I mean, I'm not saying Netflix was in the right or the wrong for showing it, because if it's a narrative that maybe by a different director or maybe in a different setting it could have worked, the way Netflix advertised it and the way people were talking about it, it's just too controversial, and we didn't want to step into that too much.
Not that we shy away from stuff that might have a little controversy.
Right, because we watched 365 Days. That was pornographic. But that it wasn't was too, but it wasn't exploitative.
That borderline a little bit, because some of the adult scenes weren't necessarily that consenting. But at the end of the day, those were two adult actors playing roles that they consented to play.
Versus an 11-year-old girl who's dressed in a bikini just air humping.
Who does not understand the consequences of her actions, right, because with her future psyche.
Regardless of, you know, what they were trying to accomplish, these are still child actors who were signed on by their parents who gave consent, and then they got paid to booty dance on TV. And it also raises a larger discussion about shows like Toddlers and Tiaras, Dance Moms. Clearly, we've seen it on TLC before, but
it's not something we were ever like, no, oh my god. I know you were in dance.
Yes.
Did you ever feel like, I mean, that it was weird? Like, do you ever feel like some of the moves like your dance groups were doing were uncomfortable for it?
No, but that's because it was through the public school system.
That makes sense.
Right? If I was in a privately owned dance troupe, they have less regulations for, like, what they can and cannot do. When I was in cheerleading, you know, it was a little more sexual, but it's also in high school.
It's still
right
borderline.
It is, but
because that's where you get into that, like, barely,
it's really gray,
barely legal.
Yeah, it's definitely gray area.
I mean, I was in dance class, and mine was private, but I was also really bad, so I didn't make it much past like the first year or two of dance. So I really can't say. And I was also in a pageant when I was a baby. But it was very much like a, look at my baby, she's in a dress. There was no makeup. I was like 6 months old or something.
No, I did dance for 6 years. I did cheerleading, I did gymnastics, I did a lot of different things.
I won a prize in that pageant.
Anyway, that's pretty much it for this podcast. We're going to sign off, and Brittany's probably going to go through and edit all of this really quick so that it can be out for this weekend, the first weekend in October.
Yeah, I'm going
to
stay up till 3 a.m. again.
But that's okay, because I have work, and you've been staying up late anyway. You've kind of been a night owl, haven't you?
It's better to read at night. I feel like during the day, I don't read because I'm like, there's so much to do, so much things, but at night I have to be quiet.
So what's wrong with taking the back streets?
Reading at night is better because it's quiet. I have to keep things low-key, and so I just get so much more read at night.
Yeah, but now you're going to be editing. That's it for Real Romance. I really appreciate all listening. Follow us all on all our socials. We have Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all at Real Romance. With the exception of Twitter, which is at Real Romance UCPN. We also have realromancepod@gmail.com if you want to send us personal email.
Just like a thanks for staying up all night to try to put out these episodes.
I know, right? My personal is at BamfingBob on Twitter. Hers is at BookNerd528 on Instagram. Or at RCA's Blondefish on Twitter, even though she never checks it.
Y'all could send me a gift card.
To the Sizzla.
I was thinking Dairy Queen, but...
Hey, Blizzards are good too, man.
Is Sizzler even still a thing?
I don't know. It's a joke from the movie Heavyweights.
And I've never seen it.
I think it's Kenan Thompson in it. And it's like, I'm going to the Sizzler.
I've never been to a Sizzler.
Oh, well, it's...
Is it good?
It's all right.
Is it like Applebee's?
No, it's a buffet.
Oh. So is it like Golden Corral?
It's a bit like Golden Corral. It's a bit more Western. It's a lot like Sterling Stockade.
Sterling.
You know what I mean. But
they gone now.
It kind of has that feel to it. Only a bit more classy.
I've never been to a buffet and called it classy.
I think depending on the Asian buffet, I think some of them are a bit more high class if they have like sushi bars and things.
If they have the goldfish in them.
Yeah, I want that one.
I meant in the little thing at the front.
Oh no. It's like you go to Red Lobster and you're like... I want that one. You're gonna die.
I think that's the most barbaric thing I've ever heard of.
My sister cried in a Red Lobster once. Oh, no. My mom and dad love crab, okay? And we went and they ordered and she got under the table and she cried the whole time. The poor crabs! And meanwhile, I'm sitting there eating my shrimps like, I'm eating shrimps. I'm like 5 or 6. And meanwhile, she's having like literally a mental breakdown about the crabs. And I said, I don't give a fuck about crabs. I'm gonna dip them in ketchup.
I mean...
That's my story.
Crabs are the insects of the sea, so...
I actually worked at Red Lobster for like over a year and I loved just like sitting and watching the lobsters being like, man, either you're a goner or this is a terrible existence.
Do you think that like they ever got just so giant that they just had to kill them?
Oh no, eventually it is. And that's why they keep them in a tank there. Because when they're small, generally people don't say, I want the tiny pathetic lobster. They're always like, give me the big one. Right? And so the longer they're there, the bigger they get, the more likely they are to get chosen.
I've never seen anyone pick a lobster and just be like, I want that one.
Oh.
Never.
It didn't happen very often, but every once in a while.
Do you like ring a bell or something when it happens?
No, it's not Long John Silver's, okay? Yeah, like we were trained, like you actually had to reach in and grab it and go, and I actually killed one once. You learn like how to score it on the back and tear open the shell and things.
They scream.
Help me, I'm not dead yet.
They don't actually scream. It's just the water getting in air escaping their shell.
Yeah, well, I didn't actually watch it get cooked, but I did actually, you know, they put the knife in, they cut it and all that. It's really fun.
Stop. I'm just fascinated by the idea of being like, I'm going to go to a restaurant and pick something alive and then I'm going to eat it.
At least in Texas Roadhouse, like, the
steaks are dead.
Know, they say, all right, would you like one of these nice cuts of steak? And you're like, no, thank you. What if it was the cow and he's standing out in a field and says, which cow would you like? And he just stares at you like, please God, don't do it.
No. I'm telling you, there are some cows that... Now, see, I grew up on a farm, and we had cows at various points in our time there.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some cows I would have eaten. They were dicks. Don't look at me like that. And there are some cows that I was like, these are great. But there were a couple cows that they deserved it. Houdini was the worst cow ever. He would escape every other day. He always wanted to tear up everything. And we were always constantly putting him back, fixing the fence.
I bet I know why you call him Houdini.
Hmm.
He was Jewish.
Actually, he pulled rabbits out of his ass.
Well, now that we've thoroughly shot the shit and had fun for
a
minute.
I'm sure they like the antidotes.
Oh, no. And that's the thing. It's like, sometimes we won't talk movies, but sometimes we just want to have fun. Like I said, moving forward, we're going to have the stream mini next. We're going to have a theme mini about horror and feminism.
And let me tell you, I've been doing a lot of research. There's a lot to go there.
And then after that, we're going to have our other themed, which is going to be all about female movie stars and movies that they've been in that we haven't seen yet. So moving forward, there's a lot going on.
A lot of girls.
A lot of girls for October for Breast Cancer Month.
Because I'm just tired of all the movies we watch being all about men.
Yeah, well, you're not wrong. if you want a woman in a movie, generally you have to, you know, either say, oh, it's a chick flick, or they're some damsel. So I'm really excited for this month because we get to explore different roles that women have been able to fill.
But that's what we got for you today, y'all.
Yep.
Look forward to listening to our next episode, hopefully. And I hope you enjoyed this one, the fastest edited ever.
Yep. And until next time, make sure you keep it real.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to the Real Romance Podcast, courtesy of the Undercover Capes Podcast Network. Please remember to rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends.